All right, everyone, welcome back. Another week, another episode. Episode 26 of Fundamentally Sound Podcast. We officially made it a half a year together. Am I your longest relationship, Ben?
No, I've been 2 years and I've been a year and a half.
I have a
feeling we're going to surpass that.
I was going to say.
Even though you're not as hot, you don't have tits or an ass.
I got an ass.
Okay, you got an ass, but not the ass I want.
You always ask, how am I going to introduce you? I think that one threw you off a little bit,
didn't it? That one completely got me. Normally, I'm like, all right, this is going to be boring. And I was like, whoa, okay. We're going here today.
I was thinking, I was like, it literally hit, like, you know, for people that don't know, like, me and you talk before the show, obviously, like, just go finalizing plans, everything like that, setting everything up.
We had, like, randomly tweeted each other sparingly.
Yeah, yeah. Now we talk all the time.
But a year and a half, or not a half a year right now, is just stupid.
Right. Because, yeah, it was March. And
time flies.
Right. But people, like, we, before every show, me and you hop on Skype, which is how we record, and talk and just kind of finalize everything and just go, okay, let's hit this. We'll introduce this, you know, so and so. I didn't even think about it until I hit record and was like, oh shit, episode 26, like, that's half a year.
I mean, props to us. I'm in shock right now. The way we threw this together was so random too.
Yeah, we were both hammered.
Hammered at a bar watching basketball,
it was the round of 32.
Round of 32. Yep, it was Nova, Wisconsin.
Xavier, Florida State.
Like, it was perfect.
Yeah, and
did I just call our relationship perfect?
You did. You did, which is more than my wife can say.
What about your ass?
Yeah, that too. But ironically enough, I was at a bar in Cincinnati. I think let's lead off with this. Let's lead off with the news. We teased it today on Twitter that if you're in the greater Cincinnati area, there's something you'll want to hear in today's show.
It's the date. Go ahead.
We have now firmed not one, but two live shows at Queen City Exchange in downtown Cincinnati. The first one is Friday, October 27th, which is going to be kind of the test run. That's going to be about 6:30 Eastern, where Ben's actually not going to be able to make it in town for that, but we're going to do it via Skype. Ben will be up on a projection screen.
My huge mug.
Yep. And
model mug.
Yeah, and we'll do it like an hour and a half show. It's going to lead into – there's a Florida State-Boston College football game. That Florida State has a watch party at the bar, so it's going to lead into that.
Okay, timeout.
Yeah, it's leading into a watch party.
A watch party of Florida State-Boston College? That's going to be a anal.
Yeah, rape. Yeah. Florida State's going to beat the hell out of them. Yeah.
Okay. Just to make it clear.
And then that's happening Friday, October 27th. We might have a guest for that. That's in the works. There might be a guest for that one. Saturday, December 9th. Mark down your calendars. Saturday, December 9th. Queen City Exchange in downtown Cincinnati. Me and Ben will both be there in person doing possible multiple shows that day at Queen City Exchange, depending on the time of the Cincinnati and Xavier game. We will be talking quite a bit of basketball. We will have guests from all over the greater Cincinnati area and whatnot, and we will be spending the day there. I know there's going to be some drink specials. There's going to be possibly some contests. It's going to be an awesome, awesome atmosphere that you're not going to want to miss out on.
This will be my first trip to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
How is that city? I mean, you talk about it, but like, am I going to be impressed, or am I going to be like, oh, this is exactly what I thought it was?
Yeah, I think you'll be impressed. Like, it's a small, big city.
Comparison. Give me a comparison.
I compared a little bit to like Baltimore, just in terms of like size wise.
I've never been to Baltimore.
I know, I can't think of like another good comparison.
Yeah, from where we are, like a Milwaukee type. No, Milwaukee's bigger.
Yeah, I've never been to Milwaukee.
college town feel or just like small big
no,
city?
No, 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 not a college town feel. It's like a it's just a
Like a
small big
Louisville?
city. Yeah, I mean, Louisville and Cincinnati are pretty similar in size, like not only in size but how it's like kind of pocketed. Like there's little neighborhoods. Like so they're like different districts almost, like full of bars and restaurants and everything like that. And Louisville kind of has that too. Yeah, I think Louisville is like a fair comparison.
Okay. So at least I know what to prep my mind with.
Yeah. It's going to be an awesome day. It's like no football going on that day. It's the week after the conference championships. It might be Army-Navy that day. I forget. But it's going to be basketball heavy. Xavier plays home against Colorado. Cincinnati's in New York against Florida. Obviously, that being the two hometown teams in Cincinnati, kind of centered a little bit around that. But we're going to be talking everything. We're going to have guests in person. Maybe we'll set up a guest via phone or Skype for that one from a national landscape. But mark your calendars, December 9th, all day at Queen City Exchange in downtown Cincinnati. It's an awesome bar. They're awesome guys who run it. And again, there's going to be drink specials. There's going to be some contests. There's going to be – I mean, they have 25, 50 TVs, a bunch of TVs, projection screens, all the works. Us two talking hoops, drinking with everybody. We'll be answering fan questions. We'll be doing live shows. We'll be doing live segments. I'm sure we'll do Fout Out in person together. So it's
even
awesome.
We can hand the microphones out and be like, hey, give us a question for Fout Out.
We're not handing them to any of my idiot friends.
Okay, fair enough. How many idiot friends do you think will be there?
Who knows, but I know who they are.
And give us a shout out to our listeners. Get us up on email, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on anything. Let us know if you're coming.
We'll put it out on the show Twitter and our individual Twitters, so everyone can see and remind everybody about it. But yeah, October 27th, which is a Friday, and December 9th, which is a Saturday, you're not going to want to miss. It's going to be a really cool day. If you're a college basketball fan, if you're a fan of us, it's gonna you're not gonna want to miss it. It's gonna be that much fun.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
It's good. I mean, and it's a full bar. It's a stock market bar with beer pricing. They have liquor. They have everything. They have wine. They have everything. So anybody can come. Everybody's welcome. We want to sell this place out.
They're great people thinking outside the box too with different specials like. This is something you won't want to miss, and you will not regret missing this.
Yeah, and I believe on the 9th there's going to be it's tentative right now on the 9th that there might be tickets pre-sold that will include some drink specials and everything like that. So obviously once that comes about, we'll send it out to everybody so you can even save some money that way. But it's obviously no charge to get in. It's just pay for your drinks like any other regular bar. Instead of a DJ, you'll just have us two morons sitting up there talking. But again, in Cincinnati, we already have some guests lined up. Confirmed one last night, kind of big name in the city. So it's gonna be a fun time. But again, we teased it for a while. It's now official, like our relationship.
Book it and go with your number 26.
I think there's only one correct answer here. It doesn't get more fundamental than number 26 than Kyle Korver.
That's a lot of years with the jersey. Man, he's been in the league for a while.
He really has. What number did he wear at Creighton?
No idea. No idea at all. Give me your nonsense memory brain call.
23? Yep. He looks like a 23, doesn't he?
He does. He looks like more of a 23 than a 26.
I believe he's 23.
I'll give a quick shout out to my roommate of 4 years, Dewey.
No, he was 25. He was 25, I'm sorry.
Duye Dukin, roommate of 4 years, number 26 for his brief stint with the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
Shannon,
how many years did you play with them?
We came in together and roomed together for 4 years.
Oh, were you? Okay. I was thinking he was a year after for some reason.
Big Ten shout out to Shannon Brown. 4 years in the NBA with 26. And then there's like basically nobody that we care about.
Yeah, 26 is a terrible number.
If you pick 26, you have something mentally wrong with you.
Yeah, you're just trying. You're doing too much.
I think 27, 28, and 29 are better. 26 is by far the worst 20-something.
I don't know. 29, I think, might be the worst number.
I like 29. At least it's somewhat different than awful, weird 26 right in the middle. But, like, it's like the neglected middle child number.
Yeah. I mean, there's just not a lot. Whenever you get outside of, like, weird, like, when you get into the weird basketball numbers, they're just not good.
We're going to be in a weird phase for a while. So we're going to have to do our best.
Yeah. The next, we need to get to 30.
I think my goal is we're going to have to figure out a time to take some weird numbers and go back in time to numbers that we missed and fill them in. What do you think?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Throw in like the ones, the twos, the threes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even five, zero. Really. Agent zero deserves a shout out.
I think double zero needs to be episode 100.
Fair. I like that. We'll save double zero for that.
So should we get in? So this episode, I know it was kind of the last minute. We had a guest fall through that will likely be on a later episode.
Yeah, he'll likely be on.
Yeah, it's a big name. We'll tease it. We don't want to say who it is in case something happens. But he's a national championship winner and a national championship coach winner.
If you tweet us that name, I'll let you know if it's him or not.
He won a national title as a player and a coach. That's everybody's hint.
He's white.
No, you see, now you said too much.
Really?
Now you said too much.
Oh, shit.
Just
get to the questions.
Yeah, let's get to it. Speaking of Cincinnati, let's start with that question.
Okay.
Justin Hub 2003 asked me, I know you hate UC for some reason, but what's your thought on a team with a top 15 defense and a top 35 offense that returns three leading scorers? First off, I hate when people start like that. Like, I hate everybody's team.
Yeah. There's never a right answer.
Right.
Like, whatever you say, it's you hate my team. You could be praising them and still somehow hate their team.
Right. Like, I said, like, Wichita's to be the clear number one in the American, and Cincinnati's the clear number two. And
so how do you hate Cincinnati?
Lost their damn mind.
Ridiculous.
Lost their damn mind. It's like, that's the general consensus. Like, everybody thinks Wichita's just better than Cincinnati right now.
Proof will be the pudding when they actually are in the conference and can show what they have been capable of doing for the last 6 years.
Right. And it's just like, I understand it, but I hate when everyone's like, RDT started listing last year how many different teams I was accused of hating. And then it just got to like too many. Like, he was keeping a list in his phone. He got to like 15 teams.
And it was just, that's like when Chief is done with Blackhawk fans, and when Big Cat's done.
Right.
With different, yep. But your list got way bigger that you couldn't even, you had to stop.
It was like 15 by like middle of November, end of November.
All right, let's get to the question. So we all know that we're always going to be wrong.
Right, right.
What are your thoughts on UC?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the second best team in the American. I think they're a top 20 team. I don't like doing is saying like, well, their ceiling's a Final Four, their ceiling's a Sweet 16, because you never know the matchups. Like, they could be a 7 seed and face a 15 seed in the second round.
So I'm against that, because I think if you look at a program like that, if you look at their system and you look at the coach, you look at the history of what's been done. And I don't see them pass the Sweet 16 this year.
Right. Like, I feel like if it plays out to seed, yes, I think that's their max. But again, you never know what happens. There could be Middle Tennessee State beating Syracuse or beating Michigan State in the first round, like what happened a couple years ago as a 15 seed. I think they're a team that's going to compete. I don't see them as a national title contender, but I see them in that like third tier of teams. And in Cincinnati, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be a defensive team. This is arguably their best offensive team, but Mick Cronin's never had a top 30, I believe it is. I looked the other week, last week, in KenPom. I don't think he's ever had a top 30 offense in his coaching history.
That's exactly my point. Like, if you look at what he's done at that school, he gives me no reason to believe that they'll be able to break a threshold that they've never been able to break, because the makeup of the roster and the makeup of the team is virtually the same thing that he's had the whole time he's been there.
Yeah, like, I really like some of their players. Like, I really like Jaron Cumberland. I really like Jacob Evans.
I mean, book it. You'll hear it from me right now. I'll tell you, Wichita State is going to beat them.
Yeah, I think Wichita State's better than them. I think Wichita State's a top 10 team in the country.
The only way Cincinnati will beat them is if it's just like a shit show, referees make it a slow game, and Cincinnati wins at like 58-56. You know, some bullshit slow scoring game at Cincinnati.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure they get home and home. Like, I think they'll split the series.
Oh, they'd be stupid not to do a home and home with Wichita State just joining the conference.
The Pac-12 didn't fucking put they put Arizona and USC once against each other.
I'm just saying this.
Conferences are dumb. Like, people,
they are.
People high up are dumb. That's why, like, I want to be in charge of college basketball because I would not make dumb decisions like that.
That's why we have this podcast to make assumptions that we're in charge and telling it the way that it should be. Versus the way that it is.
But in terms of Cincinnati, yeah, like, again, they're a good team.
They'll be what Cincinnati always is. They're going to hover the top 15 at one point because they're going to win, like, 9 games in their own conference.
Yeah, they'll be successful out of conference. Like, that Florida game will be a good matchup to them because, you know, Florida, I think, is, like, a top 12 team.
It's a neutral site game.
Yep, it's up in New York.
New Jersey.
Is that one in Jersey? Yeah. So it's again, if they win that game, then yeah, you'll see them like bump up to like 10.
See, and then they play Mississippi State and then UCLA. So
and they're at UCLA.
So to the what is my man's name who asked the question?
Justin Hubbard.
Hub.
Yeah.
To Mr. Hub. I don't know how to keep it without hurting his feelings. They're going to go at maximum 2-1 in that span. Because they also play Xavier too. They could easily go 2-2, and they're pretty much laying their bed for the foundation of this team. If they go 4-0, tweet at me, yell at me, do something, but they're going 2-2, and they're going to be hovering the top 25 all year. It's a classic Mick Cronin team. See what happens.
Yeah, and like Cronin's a good coach.
Don't dislike him at all.
I just don't think this team has what it – and again, it's a thing where, yes, his defense is there and the offense, like, he just never made that jump in his system to be this consistent offense. And, yeah, and again, you lose key parts to last year's team. But, you get Kane Broome in this year from a transfer from Sacred Heart who can really score the ball. But, again, what's he going to be in this system? Like, Sacred Heart's system is a lot different than Cincinnati's system. How does that transfer over? How does he play along with Evans and Cumberland and Gary Clark and Kyle Washington? Like, they have a good team. I really like their team. I just don't think they're a national title contender.
Can I tell you my theory on transfers?
Go ahead.
My theory on transfers is when you're transferring from mid-major to high major, and I'll give Cincinnati high major status just for the sake of the argument. When you go from mid to high, if you're on a shitty team, you can score 18 a game and then, like, it doesn't mean anything. But when you're going to Cincinnati from mid-major, you're going to average 12 to 15. But that's just because you're still playing almost mid-major to low-major competition.
That's the thing. I don't trust the American. Like, Wichita's really good. Cincinnati's really good. SMU has been really good. UConn has the potential to be good. UCF will be an above-average team this year.
It sounds like the Missouri Valley when you say
the bottom half of that conference is garbage. Like South Florida, garbage. Tulane, not good. Tulsa, wildly inconsistent. Like, they have so many sub-250 conference games, sub-200 conference games, and it's just like I want to take something there, but it's hard to.
It's hard to
take when you have salt, right?
When you have 300 plus D1 schools, and you're like thinking about the American and like trying to find reasons for one of these nonsense teams to be good, it's tough. Right. And this is the reason why Cincinnati is going to be what Cincinnati has been in the past couple of years.
Right. And it's a shame because Cincinnati could be better, but they're stuck in the American Conference. Like, I'd love to see them play in the Big 12.
All right. Sorry, I hate to be blunt, but like, let's move on from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Good question, but we're spending way too much time.
Great question.
Good question, but we're wasting too much time on it.
Question for you from Life_Kai. Who would you say were the top five players you faced in your time at Wisconsin?
We've hit on
a couple.
Who's the hardest player of the guard?
Yeah, who was that? Is that James Young you said?
Yeah, just because like it just was a weird matchup, even though he's not even that good of a pro. Harrison Barnes was tough to guard. I guarded Gary Harris. He was tough.
He still is tough.
He still is tough. He's still getting buckets in that league where they play in the NBGA. I like to call it the NBGA, but I won't elaborate on why. So Harrison, Gary, I'll put James in there. What's weird is I guarded McConnell the whole game, and he's like an NBA pro, but I wouldn't even put him in that top five. He was so easy.
He was a weird player in college.
Like
he was,
weird player in college.
He was good, but just not what I would a weird player to when you start listing like tough matchups.
Does it count that I got switched on to Joe Young?
Dude, Joe Young could get buckets at Oregon.
Oh my gosh, that guy! I was like rooting for that guy to score. He was so fun to watch.
He really was, because he's not big.
I guarded Deion Waiters too. I'll put him up there. He could get a bucket on.
So it's Waiters, Young,
Waiters, Barnes, Young, Barnes, and
James Young,
and Gary Harris.
And Gary Harris. That's a pretty solid list.
I guarded John Jenkins for a while when he was on Vanderbilt.
That dude was just a shooter though.
Yeah, no, I'm saying he was a tough guard in college, but he wasn't like the guys I just listed off.
Right, like he's not going to beat you off the dribble type thing.
See, I guarded like no one that would like stand out that was like good.
Right, right. That's the thing though. Like there are so many guys in college who are really good that just people forget.
Really good college players that people would be like, you had struggle guarding him. What's wrong with you?
Here's a question off the list from me to you. Okay. Who do you think's going to be a player like that from like last year that's now not in college or about to leave college? Who's going to be the quote really good college player?
The really good college player that is already gone or is going to leave after this year?
Either one.
Say it's hard to choose after this year because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So if I had to go back in time, see, like, guys like Remy Abel at Xavier, even though he might not have been last year, it was the year before.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Let me think. That's a tough question on the spot. Oh, I'd have to go with, like, a Michigan player.
Like a Derek Walton or like Zach Irvin.
Zach Irvin's better than Derek Walton because Derek Walton's getting looks at the next level.
Right.
Zach Irvin came on the scene firing, literally and figuratively, as a freshman. So that's what I'm looking like a bigger program with a bigger name coming in that ended up having a good college career, but someone who's not going to be remembered.
Like a Bryce Alford?
No, just because his dad was a coach, he's going to be remembered.
I'm just trying to list guys that are like.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like a good school, like even like an Iowa or like a.
Peter Jock, but I think he'll end up.
Peter Jock is a good name.
People would say Monty Morris, but I still think Monty Morris works out in the NBA.
Yeah, he'll get looks. I like his game. We're both pretty high on him.
What about Sindarius Thornwell? I know he's on the roster at the Clippers, but is he a guy that people kind of forget how good he was in college? Like there are. There are definitely some names out there. I'm trying to think of some others.
Sindarius, I'm like, he went to the Final Four. It's hard for me to pick someone who went to the Final Four as a senior. I don't know. I like that question. Let me think on that.
You know what? We'll put that on Twitter. We'll let our fans answer that one. Let's see what they come up with.
Because they're probably going to pick someone who's on their team, and there's so many goddamn college teams. It's like, just fire it at us.
Like Justin Robinson from Monmouth. Like one of those mid-major guys that just was really good and probably will play in the NBA.
I have a feeling Monmouth listeners are not a big target market of ours.
They can be.
Hey, tweet us if you are. Call me out. I like being called out.
Yeah.
I want to be wrong to see if people actually like get a reaction and like, are like, hey, Ben, you're an idiot. Call me out if I'm wrong.
All right, I'll let you pick the next question.
Yeah, I want this one because I've been big on them last year, and even though they disappointed me, can Seton Hall finish first in the Big East?
Listen, I am driving the Seton Hall bandwagon this year.
You're on the train. Are you the conductor?
I am the conductor. I am collecting tickets. I am the judge. I am the jury. I am the engineer. I am everything involved around Seton Hall.
I'm gonna sell just because I got shot in the kneecap last year by them.
But still, like,
I get it. They were okay last year, but yeah. I had bigger expectations. Like, I was driving the conductor train in November, December, and then Big East season came in. I was like, are you serious?
And they still were like.
And they still were like.
Delgado missed layup away from winning the Big East tournament.
Like what, 12-6 and 11-7 in the Big East, and then
yeah,
like
they were either the 4 or 5 seed because they played Nova, I believe, in the semis.
So I'm on sell right now just out of pure spite for being the conductor last year. I'll give you the conductor status and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so I am all in on them. I think Angel Delgado is one of the best players in college basketball this year. Their senior core of Desi Rodriguez, Ishinogo, Delgado, and Kadeen Carrington are unbelievable. Take Ishinogo out, the other three are 1,000-point scorers. They can beat you outside, they can beat you inside. Aaron Gordon's there. This is his second year in the system. Miles Powell was a freshman last year that I started, I believe, most of the games, or was their sixth man. Either way, saw a ton of significant minutes. He's a dude that can play almost anywhere in the country. I think Kevin Willard's a good enough coach to where they're the second. To me, they're the second best team in the Big East. I think they're better than Xavier, but them and Xavier are very, very, very close. Seton Hall, I think I have ranked like 15th in my preseason poll. I'm all in on them. They're a team that I think have the potential to get to an Elite Eight, depending how the bracket breaks, could get to a Final Four. Like I think Angel Delgado's that good. He's gonna put
Swanigan numbers up.
He did last year. Like
he did under the radar.
Right. Like he was putting up double doubles every time out there. And when you look at kind of like advanced stats, he was better at. It was one of the two, offensive rebound or defensive rebounding percentage, meaning obviously the percent of times he was on the floor able to get a rebound. He had better percentage numbers than Caleb Swanigan on one side of the ball. I forget which one it was off the top of my head, but I remember looking at it. Like the dude can play. I think they're a top 15 team in the country. I'm all in on Seton Hall. I am buying so hard on them. I love everything about this team. I wish they had a little bit more depth. There's a little bit of question mark at the point guard spot. But, I'm buying them high. Can they win the Big East?
Yes.
Yeah, they can because anything can happen, like especially when you're a top three team in the conference. One thing I like about the Big East is they get a chance to play home and home against everybody. But I think Villanova is still clear number one in that conference.
So that leads me to my next question that I'm going to ask myself from Nick Riley 117. Who are your 17-18 year, your 2017-18 season breakout players? So I don't know if you would consider this one a breakout player because he's been on my radar since they won the championship 2 years ago. But I think Miles Bridges. Would you consider him?
You mean Mikal Bridges? Miles Bridges is at Michigan State.
Again.
Yeah.
Me and names, you know what I'm getting
at. Especially because they're both M Bridges.
M Bridges, what are the fucking chances? Give me a fucking break. Mikal Bridges, the long, lengthy fuck. Like again,
I think last year he kind of started to break out, but
okay.
This year he's going to be probably a little bit more prevalent in a role.
And that's why I'm choosing because I like him as a star for that team. See him
as
a
star for that team's Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson, but they had Chris Jenkins, they had Gosh, again, I'm don't tell me. God Josh damn it, Hart. Josh fucking Hart. I loved his mid-range game. I picture people. I can't fucking say their names. It's ridiculous. Josh Hart, Chris Jenkins, they were stars together in their own way. Right. Josh Hart was a better player in college. Chris Jenkins hit the bigger shot, obviously, to win the
Chris
national.
Jenkins hit one shot. Like, Chris Jenkins, I love him. Don't get me wrong. Like, I really like Chris Jenkins.
He had some bad games in college.
Right. Like, he just – it was funny. Like, the
Clank
year,
City.
Last year, especially early on, he was just shucking. And, like, what's Jay Wright going to say? Like, he earned the right to do whatever he wanted because it was like, well, you hit the one shot that mattered. But,
you know what? You made my career, and I am a national champion. So go ahead and just clank it again. Right. I don't care.
Yeah, like Jenkins put up some stinkers last year. Like, I remember people like freaked out because I do like
one,
the top 50 list every year.
One for 12 against what's their name? It was the a slow team. I had the under, and I was loving it.
In conference or out of conference?
Out of conference. I remember winning bets.
Virginia?
Because he was, yes. Yes, yeah. That was the easiest under ever because he clanked everything off the backboard.
Yeah. I remember last year, though, like when I did like my top 50, I forget if I had Jenkins. I had him very low on the list or off. People freaking out. And I'm like, listen, just because like they remember the shot and like, listen, like he's who he is. Like he's an average shooter that can stretch the floor because he's tall. Like he doesn't really do a lot of other things. But sticking with Villanova, a guy that I think is a breakout player is Dante DiVincenzo.
The new Archie Diacono. He had the fucking tipping last year, didn't he?
Against Virginia, yeah. He's a guy that can play a couple different positions. He can shoot the ball. He's really athletic. Like I think he has NBA potential.
No way.
I'm not the only one that. I've been told that too by people I trust a lot more than
me. All right, well, he's in my watch really closely.
Yes. Yeah, like he's the capability to play multiple positions, and he's super athletic. He can guard really well. Other breakout guys, I'm trying to think like who else I really like in terms of like breakout. I don't know, man. Like
It's such a hard question.
Right, because it's like
– because everyone like
– You try to not say the same names.
College basketball is full of turnover where like guys that are sophomores that were sixth men or seventh men are naturally going to become the starters. You're going to be like, oh, he's a breakout player. No, he's really just a guy who developed and got better and got an opportunity and played more.
Right, like you don't want to say the same names like over and over again. Like, you know, Michigan State, I think like – either Cassius Winston or Josh Langford is going to make that jump now that they're both sophomores. One of those two is going to be a lot more consistent than they were last year. I'm a little taken off with this. Another name, like, man, I don't know. Like, I don't want to say the same names that are out there, but the same names that are out there are the same names I'm thinking.
I'm going to switch this up to the next question.
All right, go ahead.
Shout out to TJ. I don't even know how to say his name. I've been tweeting at him for like 8 years. TJ Hoft?
Yeah. You think? How does everyone in Wisconsin, like Jordan talked about him too, how does everybody know this guy?
He's just a super fan, man. Like, shouts to him. Favorite players to watch in the country. So I'm going to go on this for a little bit.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Miles Bridges, just naturally watching highlights this summer. And I'm going to go with Jello.
Jello.
Jello, the Jello.
What do you mean, the Jello? I can't even begin to think what you're talking about right here with the Jello.
LiAngelo Ball.
Oh God.
So I spent my Wednesday morning catching up on the Ball Family show.
Okay.
I am fucking hooked on them. I love them, dude. First off, Lamar is so much better than like that public perception that he totally does it to himself.
Yeah, it's a
total PR play to do this show, and I absolutely fucking love it. I love it. I'm hooked. I love all three of them. I love the family. I love the manager. I love the business partner. I love the security guards. I love the mechanic. I love the girlfriends. I love everyone associated with this. I'm so jealous I'm not part of the ball crew. Gosh, like, and I've lived a good life. I'm a suburban white guy who's had it pretty good.
Yeah.
But, man, I love what they're doing. I'm so jealous. They got merchandise. They got shoes. They got big ballers, dude. They got people who are going to make it. Zoe is a baller. I'm a big fan of Zoe. This show has totally helped my perception of him. I thought he was quiet and kind of like stuck up, but he's just quiet because he's a good kid.
Yeah, he's just a quiet, like, it's just his personality.
And I gotta like shouts to LaMelo because I'm a youngest child and I understand him being like a little bitch because I was a little bitch too.
Yeah, the youngest people suck.
Yes, we do suck.
Yeah, I'm the oldest, so.
I will totally own it and I will totally give the Ball Family Show a shout out because they deserve it. Go watch it. You watch one episode.
No, I know. I need to watch it.
You haven't watched it yet?
No, I've been busy.
Oh, dude. As soon as we hang up, that's your, like, go to sleep thing. You'll wake up. You'll continue watching.
All right. My favorite players to watch. I'm big on Jalen Brunson. I really like watching Jalen Brunson play.
What? He's so boring. He's a boring player.
I don't think so at all. Like, I love him. The dude just... He plays bully ball from the guard position. Like, I love a guard that can just play bully ball.
What does he throw? Fucking bounce passes and post up?
He just, like, he's strong. Like, he drives. He doesn't post up. He just, the way he drives through the lane, just, he's a strong guard. I there's something I think special about that. And he scores like in an old school way. Like, he's crafty around the rim. He does a good job with the backboard. I'm a big Jalen Brunson fan. My answer is, like, it's weird because my guy graduated. Like, I was on the Monty Morris train from, like, his freshman year on, and he was always my answer of, like, my favorite player to watch. So I'm trying to think of, like, some other answers here that maybe are a little bit off the beaten path. I think Matty Farrell's going to be a ton of fun to watch again at Notre Dame.
That's a fun system in general to watch. Yeah. They score. Yeah, they move sure. The ball.
I'm trying to think of, like, I tend to lean towards, like, the traditional point guard type guys, obviously. Colin Sexton, though, at Alabama.
I've been on this show so optimistic about him.
Yeah, he's a ton of fun to watch.
If I'm watching a random, high school McDonald's All-American game, I know that's supposed to not be random for someone who does a podcast on college basketball, but I don't give a fuck about high school kids that much. Even though they're like the future, they're coming in. I care about the top recruits. Sexton is like a – what do you say? He's a top 20 player.
Sexton? Like top 20 player in the country right now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think he's – for sure. Like, I think he's going to be a top 10 NBA pick.
Really?
Yeah.
I was impressed based off him being like a top 5 player in high school.
Yeah. I think he's going to be like 8 or 9 next year.
And again, I say that because you impressed me in one high school McDonald's All-American means I need to watch you next year at Alabama as a freshman.
Right.
Against Kentucky. I want to see him play against Kentucky.
He'll see a couple different looks because Kentucky has a couple different guards that they can throw on him and get creative with their matchups that way. And get all in the, like, again, going against guys that are big-time talents.
Love that one off the box.
I'm trying to think who else, like, there's gotta be some guys on the West Coast that have to be kind of fun to watch. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, like, I'll tell you what, Landry Shamet at Wichita State's a lot of fun to watch. I mean, he was a ton of fun in that Kentucky game in the tournament last year, watching him and Fox go back and forth.
I think Luke May is really fun to watch.
He's gonna be an interesting guy to watch this year just because the depth isn't there for Carolina at the position.
He's going to have to play, but, like, even though you went all analytical on me, I tried to get a rise out of you, and it didn't work.
Yeah, I'm over it.
You're over it already.
It's a new season, baby.
Not a true fan.
It's a new season.
Not a true fan.
Can't go back in time. Yeah, and so those are kind of my guys. So let's see. Your next question is coming from – all right, we'll stick with this kind of breakout guys from N.O. Carter. He just wanted our thoughts on Luka Doncic and Eurobasket 2017, I was all in on Eurobasket. I watched a ton of Eurobasket. Also won a ton of money on Eurobasket because I was just betting Slovenia and overs in Slovenia and Finland games, which hit all the time.
Does that mean they play no defense?
They were just they would just light up the board, yeah. And like they would push. And I hit Slovenia plus 310 against Spain. That helps.
What'd you put on it?
I'd prefer not to say.
No, you have to.
I don't want to.
Why? Is it that pussy?
No.
Then say, dude. What's your problem?
All right, I put 150 on it.
Why is that something that should be like?
People don't care about how much money I bet on that game.
I do. I know. I want to see how big of a degenerate you are.
Yeah, well, it was an afternoon game.
You put 150 on 310?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's bold.
Yeah, I was very confident in it.
Gosh, I got nothing for that.
Yeah.
I put a $100 parlay on baseball yesterday, and I felt like an idiot. At least you had an edge.
Yeah. So I wrote a long blog on scouting report on Doncic. The Duke
Go
can
ahead.
Play. The Duke can play. He's going to be in talk for the number one pick. I know a lot of people will kind of talk down about him or forget about him because you're not watching him. Like, he's obviously not playing college ball. He is playing for Real Madrid, which is arguably the best club team in Europe, if not the best, one of the 3 to 5 best club teams in Europe. Ton of big names come from there into the NBA. Ton of guys leave the NBA and go play for Real Madrid. He's a guy that he's not going to blow you away with his athleticism. Like, he's not going to jump out of the building. He's not going to, like, blow by you, like, you know, like Darren Fox speed or John Wall speed or something like that. He's just really smart and does pretty much everything. Like, he's a really good rebounder, can handle the ball, has good size. He's like 6'7", can play the one, can play the wing. Really good shooter, both off the bounce and off the catch. He's a compact release. He's a quick release. It's very consistent. Like, I went back and just – I was just watching him shoot the ball, and it's always the same – it's always the same form. It's always at the same spot. He very, very rarely defers from there. On top of that, his base is really solid. Like, his feet are always in the same spot. Like, I was just watching his form, and it's consistent every time.
To all of our fundamentalists – if you couldn't tell, I was letting Bobby go on one of his nerd rants.
How is that nerdy? That's just, like, that's – there's zero analytical when it comes to, like, shooting form.
I'll be the judge once I watch him.
Go watch him.
I will. I will. And I'm going to see if you're actually being truthful or if you're just, like, falling in love with some nonsense European who had a good Eurobasket.
No, like, I went and watched, like, Real Madrid games.
Okay.
Yeah,
I actually enjoy watching some EuroLeague games.
Yeah, EuroLeague because it's super competitive.
It is like I actually would watch that over EuroBasket because the countries are kind of like there's no parity.
Well, there was this year.
Yeah. Normally there's not. I say that, and when Spain loses, and normally Spain's like the heavy favorite.
I mean, they were the heavy favorite this year too, but I think there's parity because now, like, Serbia has gone silver medal in the Olympics and Eurobasket in back-to-back years. You know, Slovenia has now won a gold medal.
And they're taking Americans because they know they need them.
Yeah, well, people are just starting to naturalize and everything like that. So, but yeah, EuroLeague's a ton of fun to watch.
I think...
And it's always a crazy environment with you.
So I'm gonna spin zone this question a little bit.
All right.
Your take on Texas for the coming season by Phoenix Knight 00.
Hey,
pipe down.
you're going?
Yes.
Okay.
I am all against Texas. I am all against Texas. Shaka Smart has shown me nothing. In the couple years that he's had the job, to give me any hope that they'll be the VCU that he had. They didn't even press. I watched like five Texas games last year. You ever put together a roster that can play your system that you were successful at and then went to Final Fours at a mid-major school? So it's not really a spin zone. It's really just a spin shit. They suck, and I don't see him winning this year. He's out.
They sucked last year because they didn't have a point guard. Like, they just didn't have a point guard. Now, they're still relying on, like, Andrew Jones this year. They have Mo Bamba. I think they will be better.
They'll be better,
I went all in the preseason on Texas last year. I'm not doing that this year. Like, I'll probably have
them. You're like Seton Hall with me last year.
Yeah, like, I think I had Texas last year, like, 16 in the preseason.
But I'm not buying because if somebody burns me once, I just don't want to get burned twice.
Yeah, like, I mean, define buying. Like, I think there'll be, like, a top 35 team.
That's not good enough.
Right, like, to me, like, that's – my question is what's –
buying them would be top 15 teams.
Yeah, I'm not buying them that high. I think they'll be in and out of, like, the top 25, you know, but I don't think they'll ever really get over, like, 18. Like, they'll go on a winning streak. They'll beat a team or two, get up to, like, 18.
I hear you.
Lose two games, win another one. Like,
win a home court game against a ranked team.
Right, and, like, they'll be, like, consistently between, like, 21, 23 – and unranked. Because I still question their point guard play. I still question, like, how consistent they'll be. They actually did press quite a bit last year. I only know that because I wrote that whole blog on pressing, and I looked at, like,
they must have sucked when they pressed because they did.
They ran it well over the national average. The national average last year was, like –
That's because college basketball's turned into, like, grinding half-court defense.
Yeah, it's dumb. But you know what? Here's a question for you, because I wanted to ask you this. I ran the report for pressing over the last 5 years, and I could see each team's individual, like, percentage of time in a press. Wisconsin was always, like, one of the 10 teams that, like, were the lowest in percentage of pressing, like, 0.7% of the time.
They have to be. It's only when they're down in desperate, desperate situations. Right. And most of the time, even when they lose, they're in a one-possession game. So it's like they're not pressing.
So my question to you is, would you like to see Wisconsin press more? Or do you – like, is a defensive scheme always just play half court?
So it depends on what you consider the word press to mean. I'm actually for, with our system, doing a 1-2-2 into our man-to-man.
So what Villanova does.
Yes, love that.
Villanova runs that.
Love that for a team who's used to playing half-court man-to-man.
Right. And they bring Mikal Bridges up to the top in the 1-2-2, and then they just match up when they get – again, they can do that too when you have, like, Bridges, Josh Hart, and Jalen Brunson as your three.
Put Khalil Iverson at the top. But, like, again, this isn't going to happen. They're not going to do this. Khalil Iverson at the top, two guards on the wings, and then put Ethan
on the wing.
Ethan Happ and one of our shitty four-man on the back end.
Right. So is it – when you played, though, would you have liked to press when you played?
So that's a loaded question because, yes, me personally, would I have liked to have pressed more? Yeah, because I'm a rhythm guy. I like fast pace. Okay. I get some steals here and there and hit a weird three in rhythm on a turnover. When I was there, though, with the team that I had, not that we weren't capable of it. I just think we were so good at what we knew how to do. I wouldn't have liked to have gone out of that rhythm.
So let's go to your senior year. That 1-2-2, how would you have set it up? Would you have put
Sam.
Decker
Sam's
up front, right? Decker up front, you on one of the wings?
I actually would have put – so that lineup kind of sucked for it. Like,
so
we started Trey, Drop.
Let's go with the five. Trey, you, Sam, Kaminsky, and who is the fifth?
Josh. I would have put Sam at the top.
Right. You and Josh on the wings.
No, I would have put Josh and Trey on the wings and then me and Sam, back, yeah. Because I'm actually decent at playing center field, which you can do a little more. I could anticipate some traps maybe. Like, say I was on the left back. I was on the left block and they're coming towards me. If they were on the left side, that would be opposite of me because I'm on the left block even though it's like coming my way. If Sam would have funneled them to Josh and Trey took the next pass, Frank would have took the basket and I would have took the anticipation steal.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Villanova recently because I was doing the piece on the pressing. Watching them rotate and then get into the man-to-man is basketball porn. Like, it's basketball porn. Just watching the rotation and watching them just pick up. To go from a 1-2-2 to a man that smoothly, because they trap once the ball gets to half court or right over the end line, Brunson would come up and trap when it was on his side. Or Hart would come up and trap.
I'm all about that, too.
It's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm all about a team that can quickly get in and out of their half court or three-court
trap. Yeah, I think teams should press 100% of the time. And I'm not talking like West Virginia press. I'm talking the 1-2-2 or a rotating man type thing, like three quarters. Again, not West Virginia where you are up in everyone's shorts for 40 minutes. Again, I'm talking again more like letting a guy play center field because of the rotation. So let's go to a question from – how do you pronounce the last name? Alex Rue?
Alex Rue.
Alex Rue.
Big Ten Network.
He wants to know, is Brent – another name I'm going to have to try to pronounce. Yarina?
Yarina, yeah.
Yarina. Brent Yarina, is he too high with Iowa thinking they're a top four Big Ten team?
So they went on to debate each other for tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet. I think that Iowa's ceiling is high for the Big Ten because they have a lot of freshmen coming back that had some good success.
Yep.
I see them as finishing sixth in the Big Ten and actually like kind of making the tournament on the back end.
Yeah, I don't think they're a top four team. Like, I don't think they're better than Michigan State. I don't think they're better than Michigan.
Or Minnesota.
I don't think they're better than Minnesota. I don't think they're better than Maryland.
And like – I put them right in that Wisconsin bucket, like where Wisconsin's going to finish fourth in the Big Ten because they always do sort of thing.
And I don't think they're better than Northwestern.
No, fuck. How do we forget that? I think they're a top four to seven team.
Yeah. They're in that range. Like, they're definitely – who are they better than? They're better than Nebraska. They're better than Penn State.
They're better than Illinois.
They're better than Illinois. Illinois might surprise some teams, but I think they're better than Illinois.
I know you're high on Underwood.
Yeah,
but
Brad Underwood. Like I just trust him to figure shit out.
Yeah, not that quick. Not coming to the Big Ten. It's a different beast. He's got to learn the ways of the Big Ten. They're better than Penn State. They're better than Rutgers.
Better than Rutgers, Penn State.
Better than Nebraska.
Nebraska, Illinois. So there's four.
Ohio State. They're better than like
Ohio State. That's five.
They're better than the back end six teams.
That's five.
I said one more that you're missing. I swear I did. It's on six.
Yeah. So it's going to be tough.
Ooh,
like,
they're not better than Michigan. No, they were in
Michigan.
Yeah, you said them.
They're not better than Purdue.
Just based off pure Purdue system and.
And I think Carson Edwards and Vince Edwards.
They're a better team. Isaac Haas, too.
I'm not high on Haas.
You're not high in Haas, but he's good to have on a team.
Sure, in the Big Ten, sure, where you waste like games are in the 40s. I wouldn't put them in the top four. I'd put them as a tournament team, but I wouldn't put them in the top four.
Exactly, as we got on the same page.
I think that's it. Do we get every question? Am I missing any?
We got every question. We banged that shit out pretty quick.
Yeah. So follow the show, Fundamental ESD. Again, you'll see all the information for Queen City Exchange on there and on our own Twitter accounts. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. Again, that always helps us for things like this. Remember, there is a giveaway. I think there's 19 spots left. I think we're at 81 reviews on iTunes. We're going to do the first 100. And then once we hit 100, we will put a name in the hat for a T-shirt. For the winner of your college team, something along those lines. Anything else?
Nada.
All right. Again, follow the show. We'll be back next week getting more into season previews. Midnight Madness starts October 6th, so we'll be hitting our stride full course by then, and you'll be hearing a lot more than us as we go to 2 a week.
Full court press.
Yeah, seriously. All right, we'll see you guys next week.